Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We've been talking about ways to beat the winter blues, but for some of our neighbors, it's all about tweeting the blues away. If you've been out in the early morning lately, you may be hearing the welcome arrival of more bird song. But how do those tiny feathered creatures survive in those sub-zero temperatures with feet of snow on the ground? Writer and consulting field naturalist Brian Pfeiffer joins us now to fill us in a little bit. Hi, Brian. Nice to have you back.
Hi, Jane. Nice to be back.
One of the reasons we actually thought to talk about birds is that this weekend has been the annual Great Backyard Bird Count, where people around the country and actually around the world can get out and tally the birds that they're seeing. The bird count started on Friday and it ends today. What birds can people around Vermont see right now?
A lot of the backyard bird counters are counting what they're seeing at the feeders. So everything from chickadees to some of these common redpolls that are visiting now, or even another really cool winter visitor called Bohemian Waxwing, which is showing up at some of the ornamental trees, feeding on our crab apples still.
Yeah, so we just get those about at my house. We get those for one day. They just strip the tree completely. We have a berry tree, and then they take off.
You got to find them. You got to chase them because, here's how you identify a Bohemian Waxwing. I mean, they are Bohemian, right? They've got their black turtlenecks and their black berets on, and they're, reading Allen Ginsberg. But they're actually nomadic. They're quirky. They're free spirits, right? They're Bohemians. But they actually breed in the northwestern portion of the continent, and they have this odd southeast migration some years. And in the last month or so, they've been showing up in Vermont. And what's great about Bohemian Waxwings is they'll be in our cities because that's where we have many of these ornamental crabapple trees. So they're neighborhood birds. They're remote in breeding, but neighborly to us in the winter.
Brian, we've got Louise from Chelsea on the line. She's been waiting to ask you a question. Louise, go right ahead. You're on the air. Louise, you still
Brian.
There? Yeah, hi, go ahead.
Hi, Louise.
Hi, Brian.
Hi there.
Last night, just before dark, actually, my husband and I saw a very tiny owl sitting on the top of one of our bird feeders. We've been here 15, 18 years, never have seen this owl before. And we looked it up, and maybe it's a saw-whet, but I haven't fully investigated it yet.
You're in Chelsea, right?
On the border of Chelsea and Washington.
Yes. Odds are this is a saw-whet owl, which is our smallest owl. It's a tiny, you hate to call them cute, but they are. And these things stand about 8 inches tall. Eastern screech owl is another small owl in Vermont, but we tend not to see them in the eastern Piedmont, the hills east of the Green Mountains. So this is a pretty hardy migratory owl that's going to be calling pretty soon. They get territorial. A lot of owls start calling this time of year. They like to get a jump on breeding.
Brian, talk a little bit more about that, because I mentioned that people may be hearing more birdsong. I certainly was out the other morning, and it was like a cacophony all of a sudden in February. There's snow on the ground. It's sub-zero temperatures, but you're hearing the birds. So what's happening?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, do not be fooled by this. Spring is not around the corner.
Aww.
Well, the amazing thing about how do birds deal with winter in Vermont, most of them leave town. I mean, we've got 250 or so bird species that might show up in Vermont in any given year, and only about 50 to 55 of them are year-round residents. So most of our birds deal with winter by leaving, by migrating. Those that stay, have all sorts of adaptations. This is not a big deal for them, even in this cold weather. And this time of year, we do. You walk out in the morning and you hear that cardinal singing or a house finch breaking out into song. These longer days get birds sort of amorous and thinking about the breeding season.
I'm sorry, did you say longer days?
Remind
us that that's actually happening.
Well, Groundhog's Day is actually significant. It falls about halfway between the winter solstice and the vernal equinox. And we've crossed this sort of arbitrary threshold, 10 hours of daylight. And I believe that happened on February 5th this year. In these longer days, the light is what triggers many birds to sing. You remember, Jane, a few years ago, this time of year, like in March, we were looking at 60s or 70s in terms of temperature.
Mm-hmm.
If birds time their breeding based on weather and temperature, it's not going to work for them because the weather, we have these vagaries in weather and vagaries in temperature, great temperature fluctuations. What's more reliable is day length. And day length does all sorts of great things for wildlife this time of year. Birds start singing because they feel territorial. And they're the birds that have been with us all winter, many of them are now starting to sing.
So sing, they're sort of warming up their voices, but not quite breeding yet.
Not quite breeding yet. The males, it's all about turf. It's about establishing territory. And they define their territory by singing. And sunlight actually triggers the production of hormones in male birds. And it's kind of like, you know, birdie Viagra. It really sort of gets them thinking about, you know, making more birds. And so they start singing.
Well, it's great to hear them. I mean, even the birds that you've been seeing around, like the cardinals and the chickadees, just to hear them is such a welcome sign. I want to ask you, Brian, we've actually had a red-winged blackbird that's been at my feeder all winter, and it's the first time I've personally seen one go through winter here, but I understand that that's one of the species that's actually starting to change along with global climate change.
We are seeing more birds wintering farther north of their range. You know, it's hard sometimes to attribute this to climate change. There's any number of reasons birds might shift their ranges. We play a role in this by feeding birds. Carolina wrens, northern cardinals do better when we feed them over the winter. That's not to say they depend on us for feeding. As I said, these birds do fine. I mean, you know, they've been around, well, Archaeopteryx was around 150 million years ago, you know, about 3,000 times longer than we've been on the planet.
Yeah.
So these birds can handle the winter. But yeah, red-winged blackbird is one where you may see them at feeders, just one or in ones and twos over the winter in Vermont.
Brian Pfeiffer is a field naturalist and an expert in all kinds of winged creatures. We have a link to his website at vpr.net. Brian, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jane.